This informative podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/science for a selection of science-backed, laboratory-tested superfoods and nutritional products. Thank you for your support. Government regulators have approved the construction of a new nuclear power plant in Georgia. This is the first nuclear power facility that's been approved in the United States since 1978, which I believe is about the time that we had the Three Mile Island leak. Wasn't that in 79 or maybe it was 78? Three Mile Island leak was a relatively small-scale nuclear accident. Some radioactive water got accidentally released, and people freaked out, rightfully so. And there was basically a war on nuclear power. So this plant in Georgia is costing, I don't know, like $20 to $30 billion or some insane amount. And the state bureaucrats say, oh, it's going to provide power to Georgians for 60 years to come. 60 years. Yep. Well, that's awesome until you realize that the spent fuel rods will provide radiation for millions of years. So you're getting, 60 years of electricity, which is mostly going to be spent by people mining Bitcoin, by the way. And then you get a million years, well, actually multiple millions of years of radioactivity from these spent uranium and plutonium and whatever else they're using that is going to be a hazard for humanity and life on Earth for, you know, eons to come. So nuclear power, I'm shocked that they're still building the old style nuclear power plants in America. You know, the kind that go into meltdowns when the power fails. When there are better designs. There's a better design right now. I think it uses, doesn't it use a thorium element instead of plutonium? It's a better design that is self-cooling. And if the power goes off, it keeps cooling itself due to the laws of physics and thermodynamics. Why aren't we using that system? And actually, I already have the answer for you. The reason is because it doesn't produce as a byproduct nuclear fuel raw material for nuclear weapons. In other words, the nuclear power industry has been pushed in the United States and other countries like Iran precisely because it produces a kind of fuel that can be further processed into nuclear fuel or fissionable material for nuclear warheads. So, in other words, nuclear power has been a front for the nuclear weapons industry. And that's why they don't switch over to the thorium design. I think it's thorium that doesn't produce, you know, weapons grade plutonium eventually as a byproduct. So there you go. That's one of the biggest unreported stories of, you know, frankly, the century, is that all these promises about nuclear power, oh, it's safe, it's clean, it's green. It's really just a front to generate nuclear weapons stockpiles. So I guess somebody in Washington figures that they don't have enough nuclear weapons because, you know what, how many nuclear warheads do we have in America? 25,000, something like that. That's not enough, I guess. It's not enough to be able to blow up every city in the world like 5 times. They need more nuclear weapons, or maybe they need to decommission the old ones and bring in new ones so that somebody could get paid to do that. Obviously, you know, the weapons industry needs money all the time. And since you can't just use up all the old nukes, you have to decommission them. It's not like cruise missiles where, you know, every few months you can make up an excuse to launch cruise missiles at somebody. Oh, there's children in Syria being gassed by Assad. Launch a bunch of cruise missiles. And then all of a sudden they need to be replaced. Oh, what do you know? We're buying more cruise missiles from the weapons manufacturers. The weapons industry has to keep getting paid over and over again, you know, to stay in business. Like any business, they want to make money. It's like the drug industry, the pharmaceuticals, they want you to stay sick, so you keep buying their drugs. So they make sure their drugs don't ever cure anything. They don't really solve diabetes if you're on a diabetes drug. You know, the cancer drugs cause more cancer and so on. It's repeat business. Same thing in the war industry. They got to have repeat business to stay in business. So for nuclear power, they have to keep building new nuclear missiles and nuclear warheads all the time while decommissioning the old ones or keeping some of them online. And to do this, you got to have new nuclear weapons fuel materials, hence the need to build more nuclear power plants. So does that make sense? You got to have the fuel because a nuclear weapon works on the laws of physics, which is based on physical matter that is fissionable, right? So only certain elements can achieve that criticality that's needed to achieve a self-sustaining chain reaction, fission reaction that is the atomic bomb or the hydrogen bomb. And, you know, with the hydrogen bomb being much, much larger than the atomic bomb. But to do that, you got to have the elements. And to have the elements, you got to have a nuclear power industry in your country. So that is a big part of this. Now, the long-term question here is, of course, where do you store all the spent fuel rods? Where do you put them? And, you know, we have the NIMBY problem there, not in my backyard. Nobody wants this stuff in their backyard because, well, it's radioactive. So they've tried to bury it in mountains out in Nevada. They've tried, you know, to ship it to other countries. They used to just dump it in the ocean, by the way. That's the untold story that really hasn't been widely reported. They just took the old fuel rods and just sailed out to sea, no longer regulated by the government because we're outside the borders. They just dump them in the ocean. Wow, what an amazing green energy technology. Really? You can irradiate the entire ocean. That's so awesome. You people are so progressive. So that's what they used to do. Hey, if you think that's crazy, to this day, you know what cruise ships dump in the ocean? You know, every time you take a cruise, you are polluting the ocean like crazy. They dump all the human feces in the ocean. Okay, well, maybe not every cruise company does that, but a lot of them do. They dump human feces in the ocean. What, you think they're going to just sail around with all that crap and pay to pipe it into a port somewhere? Even if they do, the port's just going to pump it right back into the ocean. Anyway, the Navy also, by the way, still dumps a lot of garbage in the ocean too, but that's a different podcast. So anyway, these days, they don't dump nuclear fuel in the ocean anymore, unless it's Japanese Fukushima, the Fukushima Daiichi power plant, which was built by the American company, General Electric, of course, managed to, well, and it's still polluting the ocean because they built it in the path of a tidal wave in the Ring of Fire, where they knew there would be high seismic activity and underwater earthquakes year after year after year. And they built the nuclear power plant right there, like right in the target zone, just begging to be wiped out by a tidal wave. And they built it in such a way that if you lose power, it goes into a meltdown and the fuel rods melt through the floor and disappear into the groundwater under the continent, well, within, let's say within the ground, and which then pollutes the groundwater that goes out into the ocean. So way to go, General Electric. Hey, that's some awesome engineering you have there. Did you hire PhDs for that job? That's some awesome engineering. And to think, you also own the mainstream media. Yes, that's right. GE also owns the mainstream media, which is about as intelligent as the design of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power facility that will remain a problem for the next 100 million years or something like that. Because it's got the MUX, or what's it called? MOX fuel, the plutonium-239, uranium-238, some nasty, nasty fuels there that they've combined just to make it even more toxic for the world. That's the General Electric plan. Just amazing, the morons who have brought us these environmental disasters in the name of green energy, no less, by the way. So anyway, getting back to the question, where do you put this spent fuel? Where do you put it? Well, a couple of things. You can make depleted uranium ammunition for the military to fire at civilian targets in the Middle East, which is what Pentagon does. So they take this depleted uranium, which is chosen basically because it has a very high mass density, higher than lead. You know, lead has a atomic mass unit, molecular weight, well, atomic weight of 208, let's say, on the higher end. But, you know, uranium is heavier at 235 or 238. I don't know what mass they use for depleted uranium, but it's right around there. It's probably like 234 or something. I don't know. I'd have to check. I have to check the science books on that. I haven't memorized that one. But when they fired depleted uranium at targets, what they forget to tell us is that some of that stuff still contains radioactive isotopes that continue to emit ionizing radiation for thousands of years to come. So that's one way they get rid of nuclear waste, is by just shooting it at the enemy. Really? How evil is this plan? You know, it's insane. And the second way that is being talked about now is to launch it into space. So they're going to have these fuel rods. Let me get this straight. They're going to launch it into space in the same way they used to just dump it in the ocean, right? They're going to launch it into space with, I guess, no concept of the fact that now they're just polluting the entire cosmos. So I don't think that it's a very responsible thing to just start launching radioactive fuel rods into outer space. What if, I mean, does that sound like a good idea to you? That seems crazy. Because what if some of that comes back to Earth? You know, you didn't get the trajectory right, or you're trying to launch it and something goes wrong with your rocket, which happens all the time. You know, thank you, NASA, for not looking at the O-rings, you know. Stuff comes back down all the time. Stuff falls out of orbit even before it achieves the orbit they want. And then what if it ends up landing on some other planet somewhere eventually, which it will probably do, you know, sooner or later, because planets are gravity wells that attract mass into them. And what if one day, like, one of those planets is inhabited by some other extraterrestrial race, and, you know, their telescopes are aimed at the sky, they're like, look, there's a gift from Earth. And it rains down on them, and it's like, it's all the fuel rods from Earth nuclear power facilities. Like, here's your gift. Here you go. This is a welcome from planet Earth. Here's the dumbest gift ever. If you think getting, you know, like hams for Christmas, or what are those, fruitcakes? The rum-filled fruitcakes for Christmas. If you think those are bad gifts, wait until you're living on an alien planet and a bunch of plutonium rains down out of the sky because Earth wanted to get rid of it. That seems like an incredibly stupid idea. Now, granted, it might take a million years or longer, depending on where it's going and the velocity and all that, but is it really a good idea to just be throwing nuclear waste out into the cosmos? That seems incredibly stupid. I mean, wouldn't it make more sense to, like, launch it at the sun or something? Because the sun could, you know, process it, turn it into, you know, part of its own fusion reaction process. Launch it at the sun, I guess. It's the giant incinerator in the sky. Wouldn't that make more sense? Is anybody talking about launching it at the sun? Because the sun is a giant nuclear reactor. It's a fusion reactor in the sky. I'm pretty sure the sun can eat a bunch of fuel rods, no problem. It's not even going to blink. Won't even cause a solar flare. It'll just be, oh, thank you. Thank you for the mass. You know, and it'll keep on cooking. So, I don't know. Sometimes, remember when NASA launched that orbiter at Mars, and it crashed into Mars because they forgot to convert, what was it, the imperial measurements into metric? Or, like, there were two teams working on it, and one team was working in metric, and the other team was working in inches and feet. Who works in feet and inches? Nobody in science works in feet, by the way. I'm a scientist. I run a science lab. We don't use inches and feet. Everything's millimeters. You know, everything is grams or milligrams or picograms. Everything is, even volumetric. It's milliliters or microliters or what have you. Nobody uses inches and feet in the sciences. Who are these people at NASA that are still using inches and feet and yards and miles? Come on, people. Get with the program. I mean, this is supposed to be, you know, 21st century technology here. Freaking use the metric system, and then you don't crash your orbiters into planets. But just imagine if they're launching nuclear fuel out into the cosmos, and some moron at NASA is like, "Oh, I did it in inches and feet and yards." And, oh, great. So you mean you just launched all that plutonium into the backyard of freaking the Ukraine or whatever. Nice job. Good going there. That's not something that we want to see happen. You know, I mean, let's face it. NASA doesn't have a great history of accurate launches of orbiters and spaceships. Anyway, those are some random thoughts on nuclear fuel. Georgia's nuclear power plant, the weapons industry, NASA's crappy yards and feet system, science, atomic masses, and everything else. So, obviously, just sort of a random smattering of thoughts on these subjects. Oh, God, please help us. What are we going to do with these scientists? You can read more of my material at naturalnews.com, or you can hear my podcast at healthrangerreport.com. And if you look up and you see rods flying toward you out of the sky, just know that they've accidentally launched spent nuclear fuel rods with the wrong math. That's not a good day. No. Call the cesium-137 cleanup crew, because it's going to be a mess. Take care.
Learn more at healthrangerreport.com.
When it comes to real science behind nutritional supplements and personal care products, even superfoods and nutrients, nobody pays as much attention to what's in your products as we do at healthrangerstore.com. We have an in-house laboratory, ISO accredited. We do mass spec testing for heavy metals, herbicides like glyphosate, bacteria, microbiology testing, including E. coli and salmonella, yeast and mold, and others. We do extensive testing, and we reject 80% of the raw materials lots that we test. And we only use the top 20% that pass our stringent requirements for ultra-clean food, supplements, personal care products, and green living home products like eco-friendly laundry detergent, body soaps, dishwasher detergent, things for your home, things for your body, things that are good for the environment and good for you, and that we can verify through our science, because our position is we don't trust any supplier of raw materials. We've been in this industry for long enough to know that there's all kinds of organic fraud, counterfeit certifications, fake claims, and just a lack of basic testing out there. Heavy metals inundate the supply of superfoods, and even organics often will contain glyphosate and other toxic herbicides and pesticides. That's why we do this testing. We've learned not to trust any source in the industry, and that it takes determined, consistent testing to produce clean products. And that's why people shop with us. That's why we have over 100,000 customers at healthrangerstore.com who have come to trust us, to trust our lab testing, to know that we provide the world's cleanest foods, supplements, and superfoods using today's best science. The best, the most expensive scientific instruments in the world, triple quad mass spectrometry, ICP-MS for heavy metals analysis. We also have single quad mass specs and other instruments, time of flight, tandem mass spec time of flight instrument, and other things. To get our lab tested products, just go to healthrangerstore.com/science. That's healthrangerstore.com/science. There you'll find hundreds of products that have been laboratory tested, verified, for your safety and efficacy and product honesty. Again, that URL, type it into your browser, is healthrangerstore.com/science. We do extensive testing, like no one. No one does this, and especially not Amazon, where they sell products that are loaded with toxic lead and high levels of aluminum that are off the charts that you can't even believe. I mean, if you want to eat lead and aluminum, buy supplements from Amazon. But if you want good science-backed clean food and clean supplements, you get that from healthrangerstore.com. That's what people have come to know us for providing, and that's why people keep coming back to us. We are dedicated to this testing, and we continue to make investments in our laboratory facilities. to bring you the cleanest, most verified nutritional products in the world. No one else does what we do. No one. We are leading the world in clean food. And you can take advantage of that right now at healthrangerstore.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. I thank you for your support. There's much more to come. The more you support us, the more we can produce content to help educate the world and uplift people through natural solutions based on nutrition and superfoods, disease prevention, cognitive enhancement, anti-aging technology, and much more. Thank you for your support.